incorporating mindful practices into your daily routine can help calm anxiety and build healthy coping skills. And that's where yoga and mindfulness can play such an important role right now.
Welcome to the Finishing School Podcast, a discussion with and for women about identity, transitions through life stages, how to figure out who you want to be when you grow up, and all the things we didn't learn about in school. In short, it's a sometimes spiritual, sometimes silly look at how to be a grown woman. Whether you're becoming a mom for the first time or about to be an empty nester, modern womanhood and motherhood is complex, and the questions and conflicts we face with shifting roles and desires are many. Don't have your midlife crisis alone. Join me. I'm your host, Jessica Euler, and I'm stewarding this conversation on the brink of asking many of these questions in my own life. As my kids get older, my role as a mother changes, and as I have more time to reflect on who I am in the world, I'm surrounded by friends in the same boat. And I know if we're talking about these issues, odds are you are too. Hi, friends. It's been a long time. Life has been so crazy for all of us, you know, what with pandemic and civil rights uprisings and unknown school plans for the fall and actually unknown plans for pretty much anything. We're all just adjusting day by day. And I have been sitting on this episode for quite a while now, and I've really been wanting to release it. And I'm so thankful that I finally have had the time to put it out there in the world. I am really excited to introduce you to Casey. She is the co-founder of Yoga Wild, which is an amazing yoga studio. From the beginning, Yoga Wild has been very focused on being accessible to as much of the community as possible. And that means, you know, as far as everything from how they set up their space, who's invited into their classes, spoiler, everyone, how much their classes cost. And there's more information about that on the Yoga Wild website and Instagram and YouTube channels. And I will give you all of that delicious, juicy information later at the end of the podcast. But Casey talks about how yoga is not just the asanas and the poses, but it's, you know, it's a very holistic practice, and it includes everything from breath work and breathing practices to mindfulness and presence. And the reason I wanted to talk to Casey, there's many reasons. I really have been a fan and a supporter of Yoga Wild from the very beginning when they were doing outdoor yoga classes in local parks and rooftops, and it was great. And now they have a dedicated yoga studio, which is currently closed because of the pandemic. But I actually wanted to talk to Casey and have her on the podcast before all of this started, because I have learned so much personally from yoga and incorporating it into a part of my spiritual and physical practices has been incredibly helpful. And the tools that I've learned on the yoga mat have translated off of the yoga mat as well. And I think that we have so much to learn from yoga and from the breath work and the mindfulness practices. So I'm very excited to share this episode with you. I wanted to say just a bit more about that. And this is a little bit geeky. I'm a philosophy geek. So you may have heard the phrase, "I think, therefore I am." And that comes from a French philosopher, René Descartes, and it's the cogito ergo sum, and it's basically his argument against doubt. And there's a number of critiques against this argument, but one of them one of the fallacies is that it's first of all, it's very circular. He starts with himself as the, you know, ultimate reality, but it also created this strict dualism of mind or spirit and body, and they do not relate. You know, his mind, his reason, his rationale became the ultimate standard, the ultimate answer, the ultimate starting point. And of course, like most philosophy and academic thought, it trickled down into the real culture, and it had effects in the real culture. And one of those effects was that the church embraced this rationalism and this hierarchy of reason over body knowledge and head over heart. And that still can be a dualism that exists today. And one of the things that I love about yoga is that, and I talk a little bit about this in the episode, it helps me connect my body with my soul and my heart and my mind. And they're really all connected. They're really all already connected. And I think that there's a lot of unhealth when we don't do the work to integrate the whole being, and to become like fully embodied. And that's where we see a lot of, wow, I'm really getting into it here. I wasn't planning on going this deep, but I just am so fascinated with all of this somatic work and emotion and how it all ties together. But, you know, we can see a lot of disease, literally dis-ease, when we aren't integrated beings. And so yoga is one of those practices that helps me be an integrated being. It helps me pay attention to my body and to my feelings and to notice. Noticing is a huge part of a yoga practice. And I really appreciate Casey as a teacher for drawing her students back to noticing. Notice how this feels. Try this. Notice how that feels. There's no performance. There's no perfectionism. There's not a sense of achievement with a yoga practice. And what you do or don't do one day may be totally different the next day. And in that sense, it's a very liberating practice. It's not a goal-oriented practice. For me, running can be meditative, and it can be very, it can be a tool to help me stay present, but it can also be something that I use to like push myself and challenge myself and compete with myself and achieve a goal instead of just noticing. I noticed today that I can't really run 3 miles without feeling tired, you know? So I really appreciate that about Casey and about yoga as a whole. And she has some great techniques and ideas on how we can incorporate yoga into our lives right now with everything as upside down and different from normal than it usually is, and how it can help with anxiety and panic, and how it can help us to reset our bodies and to deal with anticipatory grief, which is another way of saying anxiety, which I think we're all experiencing to a certain degree. So I would love for you to tune in. Please check out the show notes and follow Casey on her YouTube channel and on Instagram. And I hope you enjoy it. Thanks.
Well, hi, Casey. I'm so glad to have you on the podcast. Hi, Jess. Thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah, it's so nice to hear your voice, and I really miss taking classes with you. I really miss taking classes too, or teaching classes, or just being around people. I miss it so much. I bet. You know, I was just thinking, right as I said that, how different it is practicing yoga alone versus, you know, that kind of wave of energy that you get from doing it in a class. among many other things. That's one of the things I miss. And I'm sure as a teacher, it's so different too. Oh yeah, teaching to a camera and, you know, just you miss like even just hearing people breathe, you know, and but yeah, teaching to a camera or a computer screen is so stale compared to teaching to a room or teaching with students. And, you know, it is what it is right now. And I'm grateful for that outlet at least, but it'll be very welcome when we can get back into group classes again.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I feel like yoga, even in, you know, quote unquote normal times, is such a helpful practice. Obviously you do too. but I wanted to talk to you about how yoga can help us right now.
And I love that. I love that question, especially the right now piece. And it's, I mean, it's a big one. But like first, just to acknowledge some of the challenges people are coping with. In my community, at least, I'm seeing like two pretty severe extremes. Like there's families or essential workers that are in overwhelm, or individuals that live alone or have been laid off that are in like complete isolation. And, you know, for the former, where I'm at as a parent, like with schools closed, so many are working from home without childcare, like the responsibilities seem endless.
Oh my gosh, they are.
And there's like no time to yourself. Like I'm happy to be talking to you, but I'm also extra happy that I'm just like alone in a room right now. Like, I have a reason to be alone in a room. And
that's real. That's so real.
It is. And, you know, some people are responding to like practical concerns, like the threat of job loss or a lack of social contact. Others are just overwhelmed by like future oriented concerns, and that shows up as anxiety or uncertainty. Yeah. And no matter what someone's individual experience, like collectively, we feel that our world has changed, and it has. And even though we may like understand logically that this is temporary, it doesn't feel that way. Like things will be different. And just as, you know, going to the airport is different from how it was before 9/11, things will change. And there's just this collective loss of normalcy, a fear of economic impact, a loss of connection, and we're just all grieving. And so like these are trying times, and incorporating mindful practices into your daily routine can help calm anxiety and build healthy coping skills. And that's where yoga and mindfulness can play such an important role right now. And just to clarify, yoga is an ancient spiritual discipline developed in South Asia. And although many, especially if someone's new to yoga or hasn't tried it yet, like it's easy to just think of yoga as those really extreme or beautiful poses in marketing or on Instagram. But like that's just such a small portion. And I thought I would just share, you know, some pranayama, which is breathing exercises, meditation or mindfulness, and then a few physical poses that can be helpful. And the idea is that like there is no one way to practice yoga or one thing that will work for you every day. So your yoga can look different day to day, like morning to evening, or how you're feeling. And just knowing that that's okay and that there are options out there, I think can be really helpful. But
before you share that.
I
just want to say, I think that there are so many lessons. I am not someone who practices yoga every day, although I'm trying. And especially now I'm feeling like I really need it more than ever, because there are so many lessons for, just that I can take away from the mat and learning to be present in whatever feeling, whether it's relaxation or whether it's anxiety or stress or
you know, just even that like edge of discomfort on the mat in a pose is certainly something that I need in life right now. And I love that you said that yoga is not just these poses. It's not just this like extreme flexibility, you know, like that's not really the goal. It is a spiritual practice. And I come to it, I have, for me, it almost feels like praying with my body. Like when words don't suffice, it's a way of expressing like an inner, you know, an inner longing or yearning or something, like it's reflecting the shape of my soul in a way. And, you know, like the surrender of child's pose or the strength and power of warrior. And I come to it from a Christian perspective and think about how the incarnation of Jesus was like a celebration of flesh and a celebration of like our bodies as holy and as like amazing. They're not, you know, it's not the duality of like the spiritual and the physical. It's all one. And the soul and the spirit and the flesh should all be celebrated, and it's all connected. And you feel that when you practice yoga. I feel that. I feel how my emotions get stuck in my body, you know, and there's like that physical reality that's helping me pay attention on a plane that maybe I wasn't able to notice before.
When I resonate with that so much, and yoga, the Sanskrit term yuj, Y-U-J, means to yoke, Y-O-K-E, or to join or connect. So I just love how you talk about it. Like it's a connection. It's not all these separate pieces for you and your practice.
Yeah.
And that's what it's meant to be.
Yeah. So did you go ahead and share those?
Yeah. Some techniques. So pranayama is breathing exercises. And these can be especially effective like in the height of an intense emotion like fear or grief or anxiety. And when you're being mindful or present with your breathing, it helps to switch off the neural circuitry that anxiety ramps up, so leading to just an overall feeling of calm. And whether you're in a quiet room or at the height of what feels like a panic attack, something simple, just like counting your breaths, like one slow inhale through the nose and then a long exhale through the mouth, and just counting each part of the breath and repeating, and, you know, count to 10 and then you stop and you start back over at 1. And that can just be a really simple way to just relax into the process and be mindful of each part of your breath and each breath, and gradually feel your heart rate slow down. And another technique that I really love that I do a lot is four-part breathing or square breath. And I like giving this? Yeah, and I love giving my mind something to do. Like there's counting in it. So when my mind is feeling really active, it's giving my mind something to do but staying present. So you're counting to four during each part of your breath, your inhale, the hold at the top of your inhale, your exhale, and then the hold at the bottom of your exhale. And especially if you feel like sitting in meditation is hard, I like drawing with this too. So even just with a pen and paper, you know, drawing the side of a square and drawing up as you inhale and count to four, and then hold your inhale and draw the top of the square as you count to four, and then draw the other side down as you exhale, count to four, and then close your square at the bottom as you hold at the bottom of your exhale and count to four. And that's a technique that I really utilize.
Okay, so when I have tried that, I almost feel a little bit panicky, like when I'm holding the breath, either at the top or the bottom of the breath. Does that just take practice?
It just takes practice. So I remember being in my 200-hour teacher training, and when we did breathing and they would talk about all these breaths that are calming, I'm like, I'm going to jump out of my skin. This is so hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
It is. And so I think it is, it's totally practice. It's also knowing that you could just count to three or count to two. You know, okay. Whatever
it
is.
I'll try triangle breathing first and then move on to square breathing.
Change the shape. Yeah, absolutely. So it doesn't have to, because you never want to be like holding and like you're feeling constrained or
like
challenged.
Tensing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I definitely think, and then just doing it shorter. Mm-hmm. So maybe just 5 or 10 mindful breaths each day until it can be like a minute or 2 minutes. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because especially for beginners to this, that's going to be a very common feeling.
Yeah. I like the idea of giving my mind something to do in meditation. One thing I was talking about yesterday with a friend who's, I'm going to release her podcast, hopefully in the next couple of days, but we were talking about how she has a background in psychology and how our minds, because all these days are like so similar, our minds are kind of not holding on to anything because there's nothing novel. And I feel that like there's almost that, everything is just a blur, you know, like nothing really stands out unless we have something different to look forward to in the day, like phone call with Casey at 3 o'clock, you know, I mean, there's just, everything's kind of the same. And so our brain is like not expending the energy to make and store these memories. But I think anything that we can do to, sort of circumvent that and like just pause and, I don't know, create like a spike in our awareness or our mindfulness in any way is just going to help us overall right now. So I like having that tool for my mind to like, you know, have something to focus on to get through the day, but also just to make the day, or at least, you know, that 1 minute of the day a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. And I really, that's very interesting to hear, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
That that's happening. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of causing a lot of underlying, you know, not necessarily anxiety, but like you can start to feel really down if you don't have, you know, some structure or some way to like center yourself.
Absolutely. One, speaking of meditation, a technique that I find helpful is the RAIN meditation. Have you ever tried that one? It's a mindfulness technique. And I like RAIN because it's an acronym that's easy to remember. So RAIN each stands for a different part of the meditation. And the R is to recognize. And so just for example, if you are feeling anxious, instead of ignoring it or just trying to suppress it, simply note the anxiety. This is anxiety. And when we do this, we take the emotion or like power out of it, and it can put you back into a feeling of control. So instead of facing some unknown threat that can feel overwhelming and scary, you're now dealing with an unknown entity. So just that first part, recognize, is to name how you feel.
Yeah.
And then the second part, A, accept. It's, you know, important to acknowledge what we go through. And maybe you're good with step one, like you're good at naming your emotion or how you're feeling, but you may find yourself adding things on like, I feel sad, but I shouldn't feel that. Other people have it worse, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, right? It's really easy to add on all of that. And, you know, we should just stop at the first feeling. Like, I feel sad. Mm. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Or I feel anxious. And so that A is just to accept how you feel. I is investigate. So this is inquiry, where you're asking yourself questions about why you are feeling the way you do. And this piece requires compassion and non-judgment. So we're not tackling on any like shoulds or shouldn'ts or anything. You're just acknowledging what's making you feel the way you feel. And the last piece, the N, is non-identification. So acknowledging that you are not your thoughts, you are not your emotions, those are temporary and fleeting, but that there is something deeper, an inner stillness and calm that you can anchor to. So wow. That's the rain meditation.
What a good tool. I love that.
I want to say it was Tara Brach who initially put that one out there, or the acronyms, but yeah, it's a really effective technique.
That's really cool, because I think so many of those steps, like the inquiry and accepting, well, all the last three, really kind of come down to just not judging yourself and giving yourself grace and all of the feelings that are going to come up, they're just going to come up and they might be hard.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you can't have them. And yeah, the pain is relative thing is really easy to get stuck in. Someone is always going to be struggling more than we are. That's kind of a hard thing to deal with though.
Yeah. So I do. I like that one. And then for some physical practice or the asanas, yeah. The postures, and just like yoga isn't just physical postures, what you need out of a physical practice can vary based on how you're feeling or, day to day. So just an example, when you are feeling grief, the body naturally wants to cave in and there's a heaviness. And, well-intentioned people can, offer that kind of keep your chin up advice or, you've got this. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily wrong, but sometimes we just need to, hang our head a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you've practiced yoga, and for others that have practiced yoga, a lot of sequences talk about, heart openers or opening the heart.
Yeah.
And rarely do we ever hear a teacher say, close your heart. But, that would be not one you hear often. But the body's desire to curl inward is an evolutionary response to trauma and stress. It's a way to protect vital organs. So if you are in a place where you're feeling that kind of heaviness, then maybe just kind of leaning in instead of, again, ignoring or forcing yourself out of it, and grounding postures and forward folds can be really helpful when you are in times where you just need to be reflective or turn inward.
Mm. Yeah.
So some poses that look like that, like you mentioned, child's pose.
Mm-hmm.
Child's pose is fantastic for that. And any kind of forward fold, whether you're seated or standing. And especially if you're in a place of heaviness, using as many props as possible, blankets, pillows, even towels work really well for support.
Yeah.
And, a long shavasana with a blanket over your body or even just over your chest, right?
Yes.
Having that extra weight and support and comfort.
Yeah, comfort. And that's the word that popped into my mind as you're mentioning all of these poses is comfort. Because it's a way of expressing, I was mentioning before, a way of expressing something that's going on inside with the external self.
Mm-hmm.
And how beautiful is that to be able to do that? It just sounds so comforting to take any of those poses right now.
Right. Well, and, your yoga practice during this time, it doesn't always have to be restorative. That might be where you're leaning toward, but more active styles and postures can have benefits too.
Mm.
So twisting poses help to relieve tension in the muscles in the spine. They help to calm the nervous system and they can be energizing. Maybe you've been in that place for a while. And if you are feeling stuck, physically, mentally, or emotionally, twisting poses can act to help or a cleanse or a rinse. So you don't linger in negative spaces longer than necessary. There's feeling it. We don't want to avoid it. But then there's when you need to not stay there for too long.
Yeah.
So twisting poses are good. And that can even just look like standing and leaning side to side. Lateral bends can be a great stretch for your side body. Helping into your lungs too, which is a place where we you know, can store grief. So side bends can be really good. Any kind of spinal twisting, whether you're seated, even in a chair, and just twisting using the back of the chair for support, or on the ground, or even lying on your back. And for more active twisting, where you're getting some energy out of it too, like revolved crescent lunge, when you're in lunging poses and you're twisting. So those postures can be really effective too.
That totally makes sense. And as I'm hearing you mention even the names of these poses, I'm like, my body's like aching to go do all these poses right now. The other day I was, I had the most glorious, this does not happen every day, like I'm sure it doesn't for most people, but it was one of those mornings where the stars aligned, the sun was out, everybody was working quietly inside, and I took my yoga mat outside, and I got like 45 minutes to myself to practice in the sun, just like under the cherry tree, and I chose this online practice that was like yoga. It was called Yoga for Intense Times, or Yoga for Uncertain Times. And the teacher talked about how when we are having, you know, these very intense emotions, yoga can be helpful in like meeting those emotions. And so it was a pretty intense practice. And I was kind of surprised by that because I think you mentioned like, you know, choosing or maybe like leaning toward restorative yoga. Like that's kind of the picture, right? Like yoga is like calming and restorative, and that's like we're moving towards Shavasana, this like place of utter relaxation, which is amazing and wonderful. But it was actually so helpful for me to do these really intense poses and have this intense practice because I did feel like it matched my the intensity of my feelings during, you know, the week and the day. And so that just surprised me.
That a strong physical, a strong physical practice is fantastic for building physical and emotional endurance. And it's becoming really clear that this isn't like a hunker down for 2 weeks and let it blow over situation. Right. Like we are in a long-term scenario. And that requires endurance. And when you're holding those challenging poses, when you are like pushing through a little shake, you know, we never like want to harm our body, but you know, when you're feeling challenged and you get through it, like that's a rush. That's a success. That's a win. And having that opportunity in your physical yoga practice can really help us endure intense times off the mat too.
Yeah. I mean, we need all the wins we can get right now. If it's like standing in trees for 30 seconds, like, hey,
it's great.
So one of the challenges I think right now for all of us is, you know, we're constantly adapting our expectations. I mean, every day it seems that there's, you know, new information or new, thoughts about what the next weeks and months will look like. And so many of our normal rhythms and routines are just completely upended. How can we fit yoga in to our lives right now in a new space and new times? And like, how do you suggest that we do this? Because it all sounds great, and I think we all know that we need to be moving our bodies, and we all want practices that are going to be helpful to us, but it's a challenge. What can you offer us?
Yeah, no, it is a challenge. And, you know, like you said, like everything has been completely upended. And for many, like a lot of personal time that used to be a part of our daily routines, commutes, time alone at home, like going to the store or the gym or the yoga studio isn't available.
Yeah.
And it just means it's extra important to be intentional about creating space to recharge. Like that's an important piece. So deciding to set time aside each day to practice mindful activities can be a great place to start. And just taking 5 minutes to do that, even before the day begins, is even more important now. And whether you move your body, you pay attention to your breathing, or you sit in meditation, like you're practicing mindfulness and awareness of the moment, and taking time to be present there, being intentional and thoughtful, it takes work. Like, it's not simple. Like we talked about earlier, like it's not easy with the breathing exercises. And especially now when concerns about what the future holds feel so pressing, mindful activities can help. So some just suggestions that can be good for either adults or even families is almost like a little body scan technique where you just squeeze your muscles. So you can like start at your toes and just like squeeze your toes and count to five and then release. And then squeeze your leg muscles, count to five and release. And, you know, working up your body, and you can do that just even before getting out of bed, just like starting with mindfulness, waking up with presence and awareness.
Oh, you mean I shouldn't grab my phone first thing and start scrolling through the news?
No judgment.
No judgment here at all. No, I'm judging myself. I like
that. So
before you get out of bed, start. That's great.
Just taking that. The belly breathing is a really, you know, simple and another breathing technique, but just putting one hand on your stomach and one hand on your chest and slowly breathe in from your stomach and, you know, like feel it expand like a balloon if you're, you know, doing this with kids, and then it deflates or breathe out. A mindful meal. So I know one benefit that's come out of this time at home is like we're slowing down our meals and everyone participating or taking turns to participate in making of the meals. They're not so hurried. And we're sitting down together and like lingering at the table afterwards, but
it's my
paying attention to the, right? Yeah. And paying attention to like the smell and the taste and the look of your food, like no multitasking, just being at the meal. Another one for like families is blowing bubbles. We did a little mindful moments activities for kids on our YouTube channel and just like even making the bubble juice, like starting there. You know, making the bubble juice with water and dish soap, and then you can, maybe you have a bubble wand, or you make it out of pipe cleaner, you know, like being resourceful and creative, and then paying attention and chasing and turning it into a game, a whole thing. That's simple and fun and mindful. Coloring.
Yeah.
We've done more coloring in our house than we have in forever. And again, that's
so relaxing. That's brilliant.
It is. And my favorite one, listening to music. Like, we have an old record player that was my great aunt's in our house, and it's like more at the front of the house, which is not necessarily a place where we linger. And so just like laying around that and letting everyone like pick a record. Like, do you remember those days of just like laying in your room and not like watching videos or like listening and like listening to music while you're doing all these other things? Like, listening to the
just
music.
Just listening.
Like, that's it.
And listening to like a whole album. Like, we never do that anymore even. But having that experience that the artist designed, like put so much thought and intention into, right? From beginning to end, where how the songs flow. We just got a record player and we've been doing a little bit of that. And it's been really fun to watch, you know, different kids pick out different albums. And we have Vivaldi's Four Seasons, and that's been playing a lot. And it's like, it just fills up the whole house, and it just, it's like this blanket of calm over everybody. And it's really enjoyable. It adds some richness instead of everyone, you know, with their earbuds in, which, I mean, I really like that kind of quiet too, but it's just, it's sort of like this shared community experience when you're all listening to music together instead of, you know, having your own device. I love that.
Yeah. And I think it's just important again to remember, like, it doesn't have to look a certain way. It doesn't have to be complicated. You know, mindfulness or presence can be like, you can be doing anything, you know, yoga can be anything.
Yeah.
And I think another little important piece is also knowing that, like, letting, especially if you had a regular yoga or fitness routine, letting it look different right now can actually be helpful. So
yes, for sure.
Yeah. So anticipatory grief or anxiety are imagined futures, you know, thinking like there's a storm coming, there's something bad out there with a virus. This grief is really confusing because like our primitive mind knows something bad is happening, but you can't see it. So this breaks our sense of safety. We're feeling that loss. And I'm currently doing, we've started doing 5-day challenges. So short 30-minute classes you sign up for, just 5 days. And Alison Alt Kerr, local naturopath, is leading a functional movement challenge for us. And I'm participating. And in her class, she talked about finding different ways to change up your movement or practice, even like if you're in tabletop. Even if you're in tabletop, putting a block under one hand, you know, just like changing it, making it a little awkward. This is important because it gets our body out of its comfort zone and it gets used to dealing with new things or perceived threat. And that's training our nervous system to deal with new or perceived threat so that it can stay calm when we're actually dealing with a real one. So also embracing that if you're right. I know I can just listen to her.
Yeah.
Science all day, but that's really comforting to know for people whose routines are being disturbed that like that might not be a bad thing.
Yeah. Right. I think that there is a gift in that for us. Or there can be, right. There's always these possibilities and these new opportunities, even in the midst of this whatever it is. I mean, I don't even know what to call it, right? It's like, it's a crisis, but it's not a crisis point. It's this long-term, drawn-out, prolonged threat, which is really hard to handle because it's like the adrenaline, you know, it's like slowly dripping. But I am finding that that's been one of the hardest things for me, especially when it comes to my physical movement. I have a routine. I usually, I love to run. I usually do that 3 or 4 times a week. And I go to high intensity interval training classes at my gym. And that was really hard for my, like just my physical body to let go of. Like that, it was almost, you know, the addiction to those kinds of endorphins and that level of endorphins, like it hit me really hard when that was just shut off immediately. And I am trying to figure out new ways to move. And now that I actually also injured myself and I can't run right now. So it's extra challenging because I miss that so much. And it's like the alone time, you know, but trying to do more vinyasa yoga, to get my heart rate up and to kind of build some heat, but also something we've been doing as a family, which I totally recommend for everybody. It's so much fun. We do not have the game Just Dance, but if you, search on YouTube for Just Dance videos, there's a ton of videos on there and you can just like play it on your TV and dance along. And it's so much fun. And sometimes we have like the whole family in the living room and you can do it for like half an hour without even realizing it. You just get caught up in the music and the dancing and you just feel really silly. And it's such a fun way to move your body because it's completely different than anything that you're used to, you know. That's been my go-to workout. Not quite the same as what I'm used to, but it's really fun. Yeah.
Yeah, we have dance time in our house before we have to start, like, schoolwork.
Oh, I love it.
So we'll turn that on tomorrow. I'm very excited.
Yeah, try it. It's really fun. Let's see. Well, one other thing I wanted to get your take on is, you know, so much has changed, and obviously going to a studio where, you know, you have like that physical removal from your normal routine and maybe like, you know, your place of work or home that, you know, also represents some work, and going to a studio where you can kind of like leave everything behind and it's this kind of blank space, and it's calming and it's peaceful, that's not an option. And as we try to incorporate yoga into this new normal life at home, how can we deal with the distractions all around us? I know it's super challenging for me to get into that, kind of get into that zone where I'm just like able to focus on one thing and not, you know, I'll be in downward dog and like look under the couch and there's like dust bunnies and I think I need to vacuum. And so it like immediately takes me out of the pose and out of the present into like the next thing. Like after this, I have to start cleaning or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's, I relate to that so much. Like the home practice is challenging, and it is because you can get wrapped up in all the things that you should be doing. And that's part of the practice. I think that if you can ask for help, like ask your partner to take the kids or the dog on a walk so that you can have 30 minutes. I love that you talked about how you ended up outside practicing. I think that if the weather serves, you have the space, like that's the most effective way to find a home practice, at least in, like for me, it is, to just remove yourself from that. And then if none of that works, then, you know, maybe try not to resist, you know, accept the chaos as temporary or how your practice will look right now. And acceptance is where the power lies. So even incorporating, you know, simple mindfulness techniques, you know, when you're feeling that distracted by something, you know, just like we talked about in the rain meditation, like recognize, allow, investigate, non-identify, you know, like just trying to go through
We're getting lots of opportunities to practice those.
We are. And, you know, I just think that this is also a time where we're having to like let go of what we can't control. And and then it's also like we're just being required to stock up on compassion. And you know, and everyone responds to this scenario or fear or anxiety differently. So ourselves will respond different day to day, the people in our household, our neighbors, you know, and just really having to stock up on a whole lot of compassion for ourselves and others is really the way to get through it right now.
Yeah, that's a good word, compassion. Well, we mentioned practicing yoga outside. Can you talk about Yoga Wild quickly and how that all started?
So,
and what it's become?
So for Yoga Wild, our first year, we were just nomadic, teaching in community and nature spaces. That was beneficial for a lot of reasons. We were two stay-at-home moms that started this business, so it kept overhead low. We're self-funded, and it also just allowed us to really create some, like, integral partnerships with businesses and organizations in the community. And so we would teach in, like, outdoor spaces or even the Tacoma Nature Center or restaurants or event spaces, even museums. And then it was a way for Tacomans to just explore their city, to get out and see these spaces. And on our one-year anniversary, we signed a lease for our studio. And
was it on your one-year anniversary? That's
it was
so cool.
On our one-year anniversary.
Wow,
and
that's amazing.
We didn't even realize it. And then like, we signed the lease and, like, you know, the Facebook memory or whatever came up. And it was like, oh, this has been
so
a year.
Sweet.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty amazing. And then and we moved into a building in downtown Tacoma. That's a historical building, and it was a storage room, but it had exterior access. So in 19 days, my business partner converted it into our little minimalist studio, and it was pretty barren when we first opened the doors, but it's grown. And eventually we were offering 20 classes a week at sliding scale, 10, 5, or good vibes. So students choose what they pay, but we still have our partnerships. We still have classes out outside and rooftop, but that just allowed, a home base, a foundation for a regular practice. Yeah. And then on our 2-year anniversary, no joke, we closed the doors to our studio temporarily due to COVID-19 and turned into an online space. So, we've just constantly, shifted based on what's kind of presented to us. And we started a YouTube channel with access to classes, whether chair or beginner or kids or vinyasa. And there's also wellness tips on there, short videos. And we do offer Zoom classes as well, which are either a workshop. We did a yoga for self-care. A local teacher, Sherry Larson, used the yoga tune-up balls. And so I hand-delivered, like, straight from the box with a gloved hand to people's mailboxes.
Oh, my gosh.
And we did this workshop, and it was amazing because I was participating in it, and like my dad in Tioga, Texas, is doing the workshop.
Oh my gosh, and that's so great!
Just people from all over, and it was just amazing the timing was perfect, and just feel so empowering. Ways to take care of yourself, tangible things you can do, and so we have workshops and 5-day challenges, and different ways that you can sign up and take classes on Zoom. So that's where we are right now. And we'll see what happens. But
Well, good job adapting. And I'm so excited to check out some of your online stuff, and I'll make sure I put all of those links on the episode page so that my listeners can find you and find what you're offering. And I just want to say thank you for everything you do for the community. And it's been so fun to watch from the very beginning, this vision, and watch it grow and become something so important to Tacoma and beyond now, hopefully. I love the vision. I love how you two have really just sought to serve such a variety of people and to reach people who maybe felt like yoga was inaccessible for a lot of different reasons. And you've worked hard to overcome some of those barriers. And it's been amazing. It's been amazing, like, to just watch all these partners come around you and say, like, yes, absolutely, we want to be a part of this. We want to support you. We want to create space or, help you make this happen. And I think that you are doing this at just the right time. And I can't wait to take class with you again and give you a big hug someday.
I know. I'm a hugger, and I'm just like feeling like part of my soul is just like so deprived. Thank you for your kind words. That means so much. And I appreciate your support from the beginning in our Baltimore Park and rooftop classes and all the places you've come to support us. And it's just been lovely to be on here and get to talk to you.
Yeah, definitely. I have two quick questions to end with.
Okay.
One is, I'm wondering if you could tell us something you are reading right now that's really inspiring you.
Oh, that's inspiring me. I'm actually struggling to get through a reread of Wuthering Heights.
So diving into the classics, huh?
Because I'm so close to being done, and I didn't love it 10 years ago, and I was like, well, I'm older. Like, this is a classic for a reason. So I'm reading it again, and so I'm struggling. But I cannot wait to just get through this last hour of my audiobook so I can start Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
I'm so excited. In the middle of that.
Are you?
It's good.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. So you're not loving Wuthering Heights.
I know. I stand firm with my original decision. Like, I was right on 10 years ago.
Sometimes classics, sometimes they disappoint. That's just the reality. It's okay. You don't have to love them all.
I don't. I just don't.
What is one thing that you could not live without right now?
I feel a little like inappropriate to say it, but
it can totally be inappropriate.
My phone. We've had a weekly, or I guess internet, but we've had a weekly family like catch up Tuesday nights, and like that's family in Texas, and cousins getting to see each other, and you know, we were planning to go visit my nephew's graduating in May, and so that trip is canceled, and you know, like all the seniors and that heartbreak that they're experiencing.
Yes,
I have. So I would not wish this on any. Oh, I know, it's just horrible. I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but I, you know, it's so fun. We've never. I mean, I've been away from my home state for 15 years. I mean, I'm full Washingtonian now, but
yeah.
We've never had a regular visit, and it's been such a great anchor. It's been great to see the cousins play and joke, and yeah, that's been an amazing piece.
That's cool. Yeah, it has been really fun to see. I think we're all kind of reinventing how we connect in ways that we never would have before. My uncle just turned 75, and he and my aunt live in Brooklyn. And last night we had a family Zoom call for his birthday, and it was like cousins that I have not seen in, I don't know, at least a decade, maybe more, you know, and to be all together and see all their faces was amazing. And that never would have happened in real life. Like, I don't think that there's a way for us to all be together, but that we get to be on a Zoom call together is so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a silver lining.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. Well, Casey, it was so good to talk to you.
It's so nice to talk to you. I've enjoyed it very much.
Good. Me too. Well, I can't wait to check out what you are putting out into the world right now and all of these resources. And I'm definitely going to look into the Zoom classes and workshops. That sounds really fun. And I like the 5-day challenge idea. That sounds like I can commit to 5 days.
Right? We used to do 6-week series, and that just seemed so overwhelming. Like, you want me to commit to 6 weeks to something?
No,
like, I can't. I don't know what's happening next week.
So yeah, I don't know what's happening tomorrow.
Right? Yeah. And they're just 30 minutes. And if you miss it, you get the live replay. You have access for a week. Like, there's, you know.
Yeah. Okay, that's good to know. I will check it out. Okay. Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate
you're
you.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank okay, you have so a much great night.
Okay,
you are so welcome. Okay, bye.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Please check out Yoga Wild on Instagram at BeYogaWild. They regularly update their offerings, workshops, and online classes. Also, please catch some of the amazing offerings they have on their YouTube channel. They're streaming, they're free, they're updated all the time. And what I love about their YouTube channel is that you can pick a yoga class by intensity. So you can see what effort scale you are in the mood for. And you can also visit their website at beyogawild.com. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this conversation. If you enjoyed it and know a friend who would love it, please, please, please pass it on. Word of mouth is how we can grow this community. Thanks again.